In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. Genesis 1, verses 1 and 2. I am Rob West. I'm sure you're more than familiar with those first lines of the Bible, but are you aware of the economic implications of the creation story? Jerry Boyer fills us in today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, Jerry Boyer is our resident economist and regular contributor here at FaithFi and World News Group. Jerry, great to have you back.
Great to be with you, as always.
Jerry, before we dive into this, I think it's important to note for our audience that you have spent a considerable amount of time in the book of Genesis. This really has been something that you've committed a good portion of your adult years to studying, isn't it?
Yes, Susan and I, my wife and I, spent 5 years reading through the early chapters of Genesis in Hebrew every night together as our personal Bible study. And that's how we learned Hebrew, by reading it, right? Instead of taking Hebrew courses, just, you know, learn. That's how people learn languages, right? That's how Hebrew kids learned Hebrew. So so we kind of decided to learn it the same way. And we did that for really a spiritual reason. It sounds highly intellectual, but, you know, I had been through a kind of a health crisis, and I thought, I need to get closer to God. And what's God's love language? Well, 2/3 of the Bible is in Hebrew. So apparently Hebrew is one of his love languages. So we just went through that over and over and over again. And, you know, the first day we could only read one word, Bereshit, in the beginning. But then each time we'd maybe 3 words, 4 words, then a whole verse, and then we go back to the beginning. We just did that. We got to the point where it was, you know, Genesis up through 9, just over and over and over again. Not just doing this, you know, in a scholarly, intellectual way, but with a lot of prayer, saying to God, what do you want us to learn from this text? And the important thing we got from God is, don't ask the Bible the questions that you want to ask. Ask the Bible what questions it wants to be asked. Well, in other words, we bring our questions to Genesis, like creationism versus evolution, for example. Those are good conversations to have. But when Genesis was written, no one believed in evolution. So it wasn't about that. So we have to ask, we're asking the Bible, we're asking the Holy Spirit, what do you want me to ask you? So yeah, we put a lot of time in on that. And the chancellor of a university asked me about that. And then I told him the study we've been doing. And he said, well, that's a master's thesis. So enroll in our university. And I said, I can't go to seminary. I don't have time. He said, you won't go to seminary. Just write it up. And if it is what it sounds like, it will be a master's thesis. It has to be 80 pages long. Well, I spent a year and a half on it. It was 240 pages long. And so that's how I have a seminary degree without ever going to seminary. They examined it. They gave me the degree. But it was never going to be about a degree. It was never even going to be about teaching. It was just about wanting to get closer to God and starting out with his love language.
Wow, I love that. Well, we're going to be the beneficiaries of some of what God has given you through the study of the book of Genesis today. Jerry, why don't we start with those first verses? And I'm sure most of us take it for granted that the earth was formless, void, and dark in the beginning. But why is it important that we know that?
It's important that we know that, I think, for two very important reasons. One, it will help us understand the rest of what goes on in Genesis 1. Because if the earth is formless, meaning disorganized, and it's void, meaning empty, and it's dark, meaning there isn't light, then that's the work program that God is dealing with. And so what we see is for the next few days, basically Genesis 1 through 3, is what? Dealing with formlessness. He's separating things, separating the waters above from the waters below, separating the light from the dark, separating the dry land from the sea. See, that's separation stuff. That's dealing with formless. Then what he does is he starts filling it. So what do we get? Well, we get the sky filled with the greater light and the lesser light and Kokavim, the stars. So he fills, once he separates, once he creates the shelving, then he puts stuff on the shelf. And then he fills the seas with, you know, with fish. And he fills the land, first of all, with plants, but then later on with animals. And then ultimately he fills it with us. What's the first thing he does? Well, the first thing he does is he turns on the light, which isn't that what you do in your work day?
Yes.
The first thing I do, you know, when I get up and I come down in the morning, I go into my office and I turn on the light. And so did God. Now, God didn't need the light turned on. But it's analogous. We're kind of like him. So he turns on the light in the beginning of the day, just like we turn on the light in the beginning of the day. Then we get organized, and then we start filling what's empty.
Wow, I love it. We're just getting started here today, folks. We're talking with Jerry Boyer, our resident economist. We're talking Genesis. What does God have for us in this incredible book and His Word? We'll continue to unpack this just around the corner. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Our world is looking for peace. Wars, old and new, have continued, bringing pain and heartache to countless families. Is there an answer to all of this strife and suffering? There is, and it's found in Jesus. He is able to make even the most stubborn enemies into friends. How do we know? Because this is what He has done already with those who believe. Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." The world is looking for peace. Jesus gave us everlasting peace with God. This is good news for us and for the world. You'll see more of Jesus through daily time in God's Word. Try it out today. Visit getanchor.com.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, how many times I would have taken you under my wings. They had everything that was necessary for them to know Jesus and follow Him, and they went their way.
I think for nations, for individuals, there is a day that you have to make the decision to respond to the Lord, and it might be that the door of opportunity after that shuts.
Exploring the Word, weekdays, 3 p.m. Central on AFR.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
So glad to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Joining me today, our resident economist, Jerry Boyer. He's a regular contributor here and also at the World News Group. We're talking today about Genesis, that creation account, and what are the financial implications to that, the economic implications, and even God's plan for us as workers to take His creation and order it and improve it, and what can we pull out from these first verses in this book and apply to our lives. And before the break, Jerry, you were talking about the significance of the earth that was formless and void and dark in the beginning, and then God separates and He fills and He turns on the light. Let's continue to move this. There are, of course, several expressions here in the first chapter of Genesis that you can shed some light on. What does it mean when God creates and the Bible says, "It was so"? Is that important?
Yeah, it really is important, and you have to read the text really carefully to see that, because there's something kind of confusing, which is in several of the creation acts, God says, "Let us do such and such," and it was so, and then He made such and such. And if you look at that carefully, it looks out of order, doesn't it? Hmm. Shouldn't the "it was so" be after He does it?
Yeah.
Right? So whenever the Bible looks wrong, it's not going to change. You know, we have to.
Right.
So the Bible's not weird. We are. There's something we're missing. And having wrestled with this for a long time, I concluded that it was so doesn't mean that this is how it happened. It means this is how it was established or decided. Vayhi Kain, that word Kain, can also mean established or decided. So why is that so important? What it means is that God did not act unilaterally. Let us do this. Let's discuss it. Ah, we agree. And on this basis, we're going to go and do it. Now, who's he discussing it with? Well, that's a tough one, right? Is he discussing it with the angels? Are the three members of the Trinity discussing it with one another? You know, I don't have a definitive answer to that. All I'm saying is you don't have God the Father just doing things on his own. You have a discussion and a consensus and then action, which I think certainly has a lot of importance for what we're doing in our daily work. We turn on the lights, we organize what's disorganized, we fill what's empty, but that's all done in collaboration. That's all done from a place of agreement.
Fascinating, Jerry. Well, if we move along, the Bible also says in Genesis 1:18 that God, quote, saw that it was good. What are the implications of that verse?
Well, the implications are when you're doing work, you have to stop and examine it and see if it's good. Even God looked at his past work. And there are a lot of things that God does that he doesn't have to do here, by the way. God didn't have to get the buy-in from the angels, right? You know, sure. God was perfectly capable of doing this without the angels saying, oh yeah, we agree. I mean, he's the boss, he can do it. But he still got buy-in from them. God doesn't have to go back and look over his work and say, did I do okay? But he did anyway. And I think that's for us. And I think that's, we're in the image of God. So when we see God creating, we should see ourselves there. Now, God can create out of nothing. We're not infinite, so we can't totally see ourselves there. But yeah. Given the fact that at the end of all of this, God is going to say, let us create man in our own image, I think that means that we should go back and reread this saying, well, if we're in the image of God in his work, how does he work? Well, one of the things he does is he looks at what he did and he evaluates it and saw that it was good. One of the other really important implications for this is any theology of work that sees material or non-spiritual things as inferior is saying that God is wrong when he saw that it was good. The material world is good. Yes, it's fallen, but that doesn't mean it's not good. And if we think the material world isn't good and that we have to be spiritual only, well, we're saying that God was wrong when it says, you know, Vayari Elohim Kitov, that God saw that it was good.
Interesting. Well, he takes it to another level, Jerry, after he creates humanity. He says it was very good. So what makes humans different than the rest of his creation, according to this?
We're the thing in his creation that's most like him, which means that the forming and filling and turning on the lights and looking and seeing whether it's good is something that we uniquely do. I mean, animals do things. They go hunting for food or whatever, but they don't go back and say, how have I been doing so far?
Sure.
You know, I want to look at my work and how am I doing?
Yeah.
Or they might form through instinct or fill through instinct, but we actually are like God. And so we're very good because we're the thing that's most like him in the universe. By the way, side note here, that's why we shouldn't be afraid that AI is going to replace humans, because we can't do better than very good. You know, so when God created us, he created the best thing in creation, and we will never create something better than us. They might AI might be good tools, but it's more like that inanimate matter. It's more like the sun and moon and stars and water and everything else. It's not like us.
Yeah. Oh, that's really helpful, Jerry. All right. Then what is humanity's relationship with the garden, with the earth?
Yeah. And by the way, it's the garden and the earth. It's not the same. And this is an important thing. So what's the relationship with the garden? Well, the garden was already done. It's a garden, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't wilderness. It said God planted a garden in the east of Eden. So it's already cultivated. So that's a model for us. So the man and the woman, Adam, later on, Isha, and later on, she's called Eve. There's a lot of interesting stuff going on with names here. They're all the same people, but names change that tell us things. Maybe that we'll do that in another interview.
Sure.
Essentially, when they're in the garden, they're naked, they're children, they're apprenticing. God showed them how to build a garden. The rest of the earth is still wild at that point. It's not, the earth isn't done. God's part of it is done at the end of Genesis 1, but our part is just beginning. So we look at how God does things in the garden and we apprentice with him. And then he says, okay, you know, son, daughter, now go out and do to the rest of the earth what I did with the garden. So the language about garden is serve and protect. The language about earth is subdue and fill. So yes. Any anti-development economics, anything that says, well, the first thing we need to think about when we think about the creation is what humans shouldn't do, right? And we have to leave things pristine. I'm sorry, we're not supposed to leave it pristine. There are limits on what we're supposed to do. We shouldn't pollute, we shouldn't destroy, but those are limits on an order. And it seems to me in the modern world, all of the conversation about our relationship with the earth is all about not developing it. Rather than a biblical approach, which is we're supposed to develop it, but there are guardrails on what we do when we do that. We need to get that back. Otherwise, we will, and already are, losing economic growth because we no longer see ourselves as having the obligation to fill the earth. It's not a garden yet. Yes. You know, we didn't have to fix the garden. We just lived there. What we are supposed to change the earth.
We've got just a minute left. We're going to have to pick this up with another interview. But Jerry, everything we need is in those raw materials, God's creation, right? Whether it's a seed that becomes a harvest or sand that becomes a microprocessor.
Exactly. And we're disobedient if we don't turn the sand into a microprocessor. We're disobedient if we don't turn the seed into plants. It's not a matter of optionality. It is the first command given to mankind, and it's never rescinded. Other commands are given because when sin enters into the world, we have to war against sin, and we have to believe in Jesus in order to have forgiveness. But none of that sets aside basic human nature, which is we're supposed to fill the earth and subdue it. And we've lost that. Europe especially has lost it, and it's economically stagnant. And we need to get that creation mandate back if we're ever going to get back to economic growth and real human flourishing.
And our audience can know today their work done unto the Lord is a part of God's plan and can promote human flourishing, right?
It is the only way to human flourishing. Mm. Otherwise, we stagnate, fight over scraps rather than doing God's will in the world.
Wow, powerful. Jerry, we're going to have to do a part two on this. I can already tell, but that was really encouraging and insightful. Thanks for sharing that with us today.
My pleasure. God bless you.
That was our resident economist, Jerry Boyer, with a new look at the creation story from an economist's perspective. All right, we'll be right back with your questions. The number to call, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Stick around.
Hey, man, what are you doing?
I'm just lying here relaxing in a stream. I call it streaming.
Okay, you know that word already has another meaning, right?
AFA Streaming offers free and subscription video content. Titles like By Design, The God Who Speaks, and Asbury Revival, Desperate for More. You'll also find video versions of AFR programs. Visit AFA.net and click on Streaming.
FaithFi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good, to explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values. More information is available at oneascent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
In a world where the culture uses media to promote an anti-biblical worldview, one studio dares to uphold a godly standard.
American Family Studios.
Encouraging audiences around the world with animation, video, and audio that advances the Christian worldview.
Through films like Summer Snow, documentaries like A Time to Speak,
and more for everyone in the family. Find out how they can impact your family's lives. Visit AmericanFamilyStudios.net today.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing and the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
A few of the benefits of a charitable gift annuity are a fixed percentage for the rest of your life paid to you, a partial tax deduction, as well as partial tax-free income. And then upon your passing, any remaining funds are then gifted to the American Family Association. So give us a call today at 1-800-326-4543, extension 345. We look forward to speaking with you soon.
Frustrated by your health insurance? Confused by the network restrictions and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high cost of healthcare. Take back control of your healthcare with the ability to choose a provider you trust with no network restrictions and savings of up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
It's great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're so glad that you've tuned in today. It's always a privilege to have Jerry Boyer along with us. And we obviously went deep there on Genesis for a few moments, talking about God's design for creation, our role then to take the creation and order it and improve it and work as unto the Lord, work with diligence. We know we are to have that virtue of hard work. We need to have that in our lives and instill that in the next generation as well. Well, that's obviously the bedrock of how we experience provision. It comes from God. But we have a role in that. But then once it passes through our hands, how do we manage it? Well, we look to God's word. We look at the big ideas and principles we find in Scripture around wise biblical money management, and we apply those in our daily decisions. That's what we like to do here on this program each day, is help you look through the lens of Scripture toward the practical decisions and choices you're making every day. So call right now with your financial questions. We've got two lines open. We're going to dive into those right now at 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you. Let's begin today in New Jersey, and you'll be our first caller. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
It's about Social Security. I am divorced and started drawing my Social Security benefit at 62. And within a few months, I was notified by Social Security that I could possibly get a higher benefit. So I went and talked with them, and they gave me a slight increase because half of my former husband's benefit was higher than what I was receiving. However, I'm wondering now that if I would be eligible for survivor benefits in the future if my husband happened to pass away before I did.
Yes, and the answer is generally you are, as long as you meet the requirements. So you would have to be at least 60 years old. You would have had to have been married to the deceased at that point, for your marriage would have had to have lasted at least 10 years, and you would have to not be eligible for an equal or higher benefit on your own work record, and you would also need to be unmarried, at least unmarried prior to the age of 60. You could remarry after 60. So if those things do apply to your situation, then yes, the Social Security Administration will automatically switch you, and if they don't, you could contact them, to survivor's benefits once they receive notice that your ex-husband has passed away, and then the amount of the benefit would increase depending upon your age, and that would be, you know, whether you wait till full retirement age or you take it early would determine how much you get.
Okay, because he's not drawing his own as of yet, but I guess that doesn't matter.
No, that's correct. So you, it's really what his, it's based on his full retirement age benefit, and you would be able to get those survivor's benefits, and then you'd have to decide, do you wait until full retirement age and get the full benefit? And you do, as a survivor's benefit, have the ability to be selective as to when you choose to move over to those benefits. So you could continue to earn yours if you wanted to and then switch over at a later date, or you could begin taking it right away.
Okay, so that slight increase that I got won't affect that at all.
It does not, no.
Okay. All right. That's what I was
This is only based on his work record and his benefit record, and your age are the two criteria that affect, you know, when you, what you will receive when you begin collecting survivor's benefits at that point. So it absolutely will be available to you. And if you want to get into the kind of nuts and bolts of the actual numbers and comparing what you will receive down the road versus what you're getting now, I'd recommend you schedule a meeting with the Social Security Administration. They can go through the numbers with you. But the bottom line is, as long as you meet those requirements, you should be able to collect those survivor's benefits. Hope that's helpful to you, Ann. Thanks for calling today. Let's go to Virginia. Hi, Guy. How can I help you?
Good morning. Retired recently and have a 401k that I'd like to move over so that I can start making QCDs.
Yes.
And I was wondering if you might be able to give me a short list of financial institutions that I could do that to and at least be invested in stocks and mutual funds.
Yes,
but,
sir.
But principally, I'd like it not to give me a lot of pushbacks on my QCDs.
Yeah, and you're talking about pushbacks related to the organizations that you select to distribute the funds?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you know, I think when you're selecting a brokerage firm to be the custodian of what will be an IRA, that you're correct, will allow you to do the QCD. You cannot do the qualified charitable distribution out of the 401k, but as soon as you roll that to the IRA, which is, of course, a non-taxable event, then after age 70, you would be able to do that QCD of up to $105,000 this year, 2024. If you are going to manage that yourself, I'd probably use one of the discount brokerages like Fidelity or Schwab would be my first two that I would look at. You know, you could take a list of the charities you're looking to support and run that by the custodian in advance if you had any concern. I wouldn't expect you to get any pushback from that, just based on what I know of those organizations and the granting that they allow from their donor-advised funds through Schwab Charitable and Fidelity Charitable. They really don't put any restrictions on those that I'm aware of, and I know the same would apply with that qualified charitable distribution. Now, if you, of course, wanted to hire an advisor to manage it, then I'd wait, select the advisor, and then he or she would tell you which custodians they work with, and then you'd roll it there. But if you're going to maintain the management on your side and not work with an advisor, then I think, at least as a starting point, those two would be two firms to consider. Is that helpful?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Very good. Well, listen, I love the qualified charitable distribution guy. And for the rest of our listening audience, if you're kind of scratching your head on that one, well, think about this. The only way you can get money out of an IRA without adding it to your taxable income is through a qualified charitable distribution. It goes directly from the IRA to the charity. You pay no tax on it, which means they get the full amount. You get the money out, satisfy a required minimum, and pay no more tax. It's a great option. We'll be right back. 19. That's how many pairs of shoes the average American has in their closet. 1. That's how many pairs of shoes it takes to share health, education, opportunity, and the love of Christ to a child in need in the world. You can play a part in changing the life of a child today through Buckner Shoes for Orphan Souls. Visit giveshoestoday.org and find out how you can provide shoes for a child in need. That's giveshoestoday.org.
Weekday mornings at 8 Central, Pastor Jeff Shreve offers real truth for today.
I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries.
The world around us is rapidly changing, but God and His truth will never change.
I may be the host of the show, but I want God's Word and His truth to be the star of the show.
Join Pastor Jeff Shreve each weekday morning at 8 Central for Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
If you enjoy this radio program, you're going to love all of the many different resources waiting for you at faithfi.com. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with the community of thousands of Christians striving to be good and faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at faithfi.com.
The Bachelor of Arts in Christian Ministry at Wesley Biblical Seminary is the perfect opportunity to prepare for God's calling on your life. It's easy to make excuses why you can't pursue what God has called you to do, but this program removes those barriers. Flexible class options, an affordable cost, and highly trusted professors. WBS is the school for you, and now is the time to take a next step and prepare for God's calling on your life. Learn more at wbs.edu. That's wbs.edu.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We've got lines open. We're taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. You've got questions? Let's talk about it. 800-525-7000. Again, you can call right now, 800-525-7000. Adam is our phone screener today, taking your calls, and he's ready for you right now. Again, 800-525-7000. Before we head back to the phones today, let me just mention, you know, we're hearing from folks by email and through the mail, and of course, calling into the broadcast each day, just really having a difficult time with inflation and the challenges that creates with balancing the budget. In fact, we're seeing a really interesting trend going on right now that I think is just indicative of what we're experiencing, and that is our coaches, our certified Christian financial counselors, are telling us that as they're meeting with people to help them work through their budgets and get them set up on the FaithFi app, they're seeing this trend of families moving into homes together because the housing market is so crazy right now and prices are through the roof. People just literally can't afford the rent. They certainly can't afford to buy a house, especially if they're just entering the housing market. And so as a result, they're sharing a home. They're going in together and saying, listen, we'll share the kitchen. Maybe you take the top floor, we'll take the bottom floor. And I mean, it's just a really sign of the times, I think, of what we're experiencing. And we'd love to help you. Two things I will offer for assistance. One is, if you'd like to meet with somebody who can help you put that plan together, answer your basic questions, not a certified Kingdom Advisor where you need wealth management or comprehensive planning. I'm talking about communicating as husband and wife around money, putting a spending plan together, putting a debt repayment plan together. You can do that on our website at faithfi.com. Just click Find a Professional. And when you choose either the debt or the budgeting category, you will be given a list of certified Christian financial counselors. These are men and women that their ministry and their professional training is helping God's people with really the pre-professional financial decisions. Again, around debt repayment, spending plans, marriage communication. You can find those folks again at faithfi.com. Click Find a Professional. And when you choose debt or budgeting, you'll get that list of certified Christian financial counselors to connect with. Secondly, I would encourage you to download the FaithFi app. You can do that on our website as well, faithfi.com, or search for FaithFi in your app store. It will help you set up a spending plan, manage that plan using the tried and true envelope system, but in a modern, beautiful, simple expression of that on your smartphone. Julie and I use it, my wife, every day. We're in it, looking at our envelopes, figuring out what we have left in our eating out, or when she's taking one of my daughters shopping for clothes. It's real simple to say, okay, here's how much we have left. Let's make it work until next month. Well, you can't do that if you don't know where you stand. And the only way to stay on budget is to have a budget, but you also need to have a system to control the flow of money. The FaithFi app can help you do that. Check it out today, faithfi.com. All right, we're going to head back to the phones. We'll get to as many calls as we can. 800-525-7000. Let's go to Arkansas. KJ, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I had just wanted to get some advice about what you may thought about consolidating debt. I have a few credit cards, Capital One credit cards, some dental payments I'm making, and then I also had a couple of loans like through a firm. One was an investment and one was a business opportunity to start a business. And the I guess the percentages are pretty high, and I'm just trying to figure out a way how I can get like my monthly payments down.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I certainly appreciate that, KJ, and I know the weight that is on you right now. What is your income situation? Are you fully employed right now?
Right now I am. I have some a little bit of savings right now, and I just started with a company with financial services through a company called Primerica. It's kind of slow right now, but I'm working to get like some of my license to make more money. But it's kind of tough right now.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I can certainly understand that. I would just encourage you, you know, a lot of times organizations like that, and I'm not disparaging Primerica in any way, but the business model is just get as many people in as possible and then have them go after their friends and family to try to generate, you know, business. And then after that, you know, there's a lot of fall off. And so I would just say, you know, if it's not working for you, if you're not making the money you need to make to cover your bills, I might, you know, be quick to look for something else, you know, if that's not a good fit for you. So just be on your guard there and don't kind of overstay if, you know, especially in light of your situation, if you're not seeing the income that you need to make to you know, pay your bills. In terms of that debt, what I would do is not look for a loan consolidation. I know you mentioned the word consolidation, whether or not that's what you meant. You know, that tells me new loan, roll up the existing loans, try to make the payment lower and the interest rates lower. The problem is that typically doesn't deal with the issue that led to the debt in the first place, which is spending beyond your means. And so what I would do as a next step, KJ, is contact our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org. They've worked with thousands of our listeners. They're incredible. They're all believers. It's a nonprofit. And what they will do is go through and look at each of those debts that you have. They'll help you put a spending plan together that balances. They'll help you get interest rates down on those creditors, and then you'll pay one monthly payment to them, and then they'll pay your creditors for you. Now, the debt stays right where it is with each of your existing creditors. It's just that with that level monthly payment combined with the reduction in interest rates that they're able to access for you, on average, you'll get out of debt 80% faster. And so that would be the way that I would go as a first step. Again, that website is ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Okay.
Okay, so you wouldn't go with nothing like J.G. Wentworth or nothing like that?
I would not. No, I'd leave the debt right where it is. I'd try to get the interest rate down, and I'd really focus on, you know, finding employment that's going to give you steady, predictable income that allows you to balance your budget, that doesn't require you to go out and get, you know, talk a bunch of friends and family members into buying, you know, potentially life insurance policies that are expensive or maybe that they don't need. So I would just make sure you've got a good job that pays you what you need to pay your bills, and let's get on a plan to get this debt paid back, build up an emergency fund, and then live within your means moving forward. And for me, KJ, that's not taking out a new loan or working with a consolidation company. It's leaving the debt right where it is. Let's try to get those interest rates down and then systematically get it paid back over time. Okay?
Got it.
All All right. Hey, KJ, appreciate your call, my friend. Thanks for checking in with us on the program today. If we can serve you in any way in the future, please don't hesitate to reach out. Well, folks, we're headed to our next break. Charles and Georgia, you're going to be first up right after the break, so you stay right there. I know you have a question about Social Security that we're going to tackle. And, folks, we've got room for a few more questions today. So there's something on your mind financially. You'd love to make that decision with some wise counsel rooted in God's Word, not because it comes from me, but because we look to Scripture to pull these principles out. Well, this is the place for you. We'd love for you to call right now at 800-525-7000. We've got room for a few more questions in our final segment today. Again, that's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Back with much more just around the corner. Stick around. When money takes a place that it was never intended to take, competing with first position in our lives, taken out of God's original context, our goal is to make sure that money stays in its proper context as a tool to accomplish God's purposes. We want to help you do that as we look through the lens of Scripture at the practical decisions and choices you're making every day. And so let's talk about it.
Faith and Finance with Rob West, weekdays at 9 a.m. Central or on the AFR app.
Hi, I'm Tim Moore, Senior Evangelist on Christ in Prophecy. With all the uncertainty in the world today, it's good to know that God's promises never change. On Christ in Prophecy, we'll examine the signs of the times and consider what's really happening in the world today through the lens of God's prophetic word. To hear more biblical hope for the future, join me for Christ in Prophecy, Sundays at 11 a.m. Central, right here on American Family Radio. And find out what's really going on in the world.
As a faithful listener of the Faith and Finance program, you know that there is life-changing financial wisdom in God's Word to meet all your needs. More than anything, FaithFi is here to help you and millions of others see God as your ultimate treasure. As a nonprofit, we're grateful for our partners that help expand our outreach every month with their generosity. Has God provided financial answers for you through this ministry? Please consider becoming a monthly partner by visiting faithfi.com and clicking Give.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance. Looks like all the lines are full, so we'll take as many calls as we can between now and the end of the program. Let's go out to Georgia. Charles, you're up next, sir. Go ahead.
Yes, I was calling concerning my Social Security. I'm 62 years old, and I just started getting it. But I'm COPD, and I'm about to be unable to work because of my breathing. And I was wondering, because I'm not getting enough on my Social Security to make ends meet. And I was wondering, can I file for my disability too?
Yes, sir, you can. Now, you wouldn't be able to get both, but what would happen is you can apply for Social Security disability insurance benefits after you've begun receiving early benefits based on your work record. And then you can also claim the SSDI benefit retroactively if you discover an existing condition that could have qualified you for those benefits earlier. So I would absolutely go ahead and apply for those SSDI benefits now, even though you're already collecting early retirement benefits. Okay.
Okay. So I would have to go back to the Social Security office and reapply.
That's correct. You're going to need to apply for those SSDI benefits separately, and you know, they're going to have to make sure that you qualify based on the condition that you have. But if you do, then you can start, you can switch over to the SSDI benefits, which may be higher, would likely be higher, And you can even get retroactive benefits if you had an existing condition that could have qualified you for those benefits earlier. And that's just going to depend on whether you qualify or not.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Charles, God bless you, sir. We appreciate you being on the program. Let's head to Texas. Hi, Mark. Go ahead, sir.
How you doing, buddy? Good to talk to you. I know you're running out of time here. I'll try to make it short and sweet. Me, I'm 58. My wife is 62. She has 20 years of military. She is at the age she can pull her investments through the TSP, which is about $230,000. Of course, I'm driving, so I don't have the numbers exactly in front of me. We're concerned about the just being debt-free, and really all we have is the mortgage and the property. We owe about $220,000. After they pull taxes, if we cash this all in, we're looking at about $197,000. We do have the cash and other resources and other investments to finish off that paying that off and getting that clear. But me being the one, I'm the pretty aggressive one in the family, but I was like seeing those accounts full.
Yeah.
So my question is it advisable to go ahead and just get rid of that? Because I know it's going to save the 4% interest. I know it's going to save thousands of dollars on the back end. And, of course, that money, I could put all that money right back in my monthly payments into another investment.
Yeah.
Instead of making a mortgage payment.
Yeah.
Do you advise that? Because with our own small company, 5 years of business, we're doing very well with our VA benefits and retirements. I don't have to work. I do it because I want to.
Yeah.
So it's not like it's going to put us in a pinch.
Yeah, got it. It's a great question, Mark. And here's my thought on that. First of all, there's a financial side to this, and then there's the non-financial side. The non-financial side is, you know, if you're completely out of debt, there is certainly peace of mind that comes with that, being unencumbered, being able to be more free to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit without, you know, having to think about the debt and so forth. And so I would say if you or your wife or you and your wife together have just a real conviction that from the Lord to be debt free, then I'd say absolutely we can do this. And what I would probably do is spread it out over two tax years, maybe pull half this year and half next year, and that way you're not pushing a portion of it, at least as little as possible, up into a higher tax bracket because you're only adding, let's say, $100,000 this year in income and $100,000 next year rather than $200,000 all in 1 year. And the good news is that regardless of what happens with the presidential election in November, we know that the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, Trump's tax cuts that are currently in place, don't expire until the end of 2025. So they won't go up until 2026 at the earliest. And maybe they'll be extended, especially if he wins. Well, only if he wins. But even if he doesn't, you have two more years of these lower taxes. So that would be the way that I would go. Now, from a financial standpoint, I actually would prefer you not do this. You have a low interest rate. I mean, it's not 2 or 3, but 4 is still low, especially in light of today's interest rates. You guys have time on your side. I mean, if the Lord tarries and if he doesn't, it doesn't matter. If he does and you're in good health, you guys might need this money to last another 3 decades or more. And so you keeping that money in a tax-deferred environment in the TSP, or even if you roll it to an IRA, it's sheltering the taxes. So if you think about the rain is the taxes and you've got the umbrella over the TSP or the IRA, the taxes have no impact on the investments. And so they're free to grow. Now, you'll pay the tax when the money comes out someday, but maybe not if you do a qualified charitable distribution. But even then, it's not going to hinder the growth of the investments, which if you were to pay off the mortgage and then start taking that mortgage payment and investing it, now you've got it in a taxable environment. So every time you sell a stock or a mutual fund for a gain, you're going to have to pay capital gains tax. That's not the case in that TSP. And so I would say let's keep it invested. And because people are living longer, you know, even at 62, I still want you guys to have at least 50% of this in stocks and maybe the other 50% in bonds. And if you do that over the long haul, meaning over a decade, you should be able to annualize a return pretty significantly higher than that 4%, which means you're not losing any money. because, you know, if you're making 6 or 7 or 8% a year annualized, you know, even, you know, without any tax, you may be close to or more than doubling the interest that you're paying on the mortgage. But I've thrown a lot at you there. Give me your thoughts.
No, man, that's good. I didn't think about that side of the house as far as the interest rates, because in the TSP, the last quarter, she brought in somewhere around 13% on that TSP.
Yeah.
So I see the backside of that. No, that makes perfect sense.
Now, if you go home and you say, Rob said we're not paying off the mortgage, and she says, wait a minute, I want to pay off the mortgage. You have to also tell her that I said, listen, if you guys just pray about it and you have a real conviction to be debt free, then go for it and don't look back. But if you're comfortable hanging on to the mortgage, you know, you don't love it, but you're comfortable with it, then I think at that point, it does make sense financially for you guys to keep that money invested, keep paying down that mortgage out of current cash flow, which it sounds like you have plenty of, and just pay it off over time and not pull that money out of the tax-deferred environment, okay?
Perfect. Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time.
All right, Mark. Hey, thank you and your wife for your service to our country. We're incredibly grateful, and we appreciate you being on the program. Let's go to Ohio to another Mark. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, sir. Got a question for you. I've been retired for 4 years, and I'm my current investments are with Chase Bank and with Raymond James. And I've been thinking here lately about some when they charge me for my fees, some of that money they are taking from me is going towards supporting a lifestyle that I don't agree with the LGBTQ stuff. And I'm wondering if I need to get away from the banks and the institutions and go with, like, I mean, I've been reading a lot about annuities and the universal insurance and all this kind of stuff to get away from the fees.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of wondering what direction to go with it. I mean, I got great advisors, but the company is giving the money to where I don't think it should be going.
Yeah. Well, the good news, Mark, is that, you know, there are faith-based investing options now that are world-class.
Yeah.
I mean, 5 years ago, yeah, it was challenging to find an investment that was screened for biblical values and had, you know, decent performance, but that's all changed. I mean, there's world-class, award-winning funds out there that will screen out companies that are misaligned with your values, and often those fall into, you know, five big categories for the faith community. It's, you know, harmful, addictive lifestyles like tobacco and alcohol. It's pornography. It's, you know, abortion and issues of life. It's gambling. I mean, those would be the typical ones that folks would like to screen for, and any others that are you're passionate about. And the other side of that is not only the engagement strategy where you're voting proxies and shareholder resolutions to speak up on behalf of Christian values to the companies and their leadership, but also they can screen in companies that have compelling value for shareholders but are promoting human flourishing and biblical values. So there's incredible options out there today. Here's what I would do as a next step. I would direct you to a website, faithandinvesting.com/faithfi. Let me say that again, faithandinvesting.com/faithfi, faith F-I. And what you'll find there is the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. They have a free PDF that you'll be able to download that has all of the faith-based investing mutual fund companies, Eventide and Timothy and you know, all of them that you can look at. And you could take that list to your advisor and say, hey, check this out, because here's the thing. I want to get out of these companies that are misaligned with my values. And this is a great starting point for some companies that would give us great world-class investments that would be aligned with biblical values. So I would check that out as a next step. I think that may give you exactly what you're looking for. One more time, that website, faithandinvesting.com/faithfi. God bless you, Mark. Thanks for being on the program today. Hank and Louise, I apologize we didn't get to you today. If you guys want to stay right there, Adam will see if we can get you scheduled for to be first up on tomorrow's broadcast. We appreciate your call today. Well, folks, that's going to do it for us. Let me say a big thanks to my team today. I certainly couldn't do this without them. Handling our phones today was Adam Suddeth, producing and engineering today, Mr. Devin Patrick, and providing me with great research today and just helping navigate the program is Jim Henry. my partner in crime here on Faith and Finance. Thanks to you for being along with us today, and we'll look forward to having you back tomorrow. God bless you. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.